Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover and today we have a kind of funny one because the guy that will be putting together the podcast for us is also speaking in it. Weird. Anyway, this is Baz Richardson from Bravo Marketing. As I say, they sponsor this podcast and here he is. He's an incredible bloke. He's really, really passionate about creativity. We spent many an hour just chewing the fat over how creativity and marketing, not that they're lost arts, but certainly that they should be valued more, and specifically the creative elements within marketing. In this talk, Barry, who is, as I mentioned, a creative fan, a marketing fan, a bit of a scholar, and just an all-round top guy, speaks all about how creativity should be integrated into our marketing more. He goes through several case studies, of which I'm not going to ruin, and also provides the theory behind creativity, as well as providing a bit of insight into how you actually do it. I think this was possibly one of my favourite talks of all time from the Marketing Meetup, so I really think you'll enjoy it. If you'd like anything more from the Marketing Meetup, head to themarketingmeetup.com, come to one of our events, listen to all the podcasts, head to our website, do all those things. They're all there to help you, basically. We really can't say any more that all that we exist for is to help you. So I hope you really enjoyed this talk from Barry. I know that everyone in attendance did. I know that I certainly did. And enjoy the next half an hour or so from the great Baz Richardson.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for the amazing intro as ever, Joe. So much. So as Joe said, I'm Baz. I'm the founder and creative director of Bravo Marketing. And in short, elevator pitch coming up, we create brands, ideas and creative content marketing that essentially turns browsers into buyers. Now, basically, I started Bravo about 18 months ago, and I've got a history in apps, film, creative marketing, advertising, been there, done it kind of thing. So in the last 18 months, I've created training content for Fevertree, proof of concept for Pink Floyd, biotech films and, you know, brand storytelling for Cambridge companies. And more recently, I was contracted by a London ad agency to help them on a tender for Spurs' new stadium experience, and it was my creative, my copywriting, my concept that actually won the pitch. Now, I've gone from being an 18-year-old designer who was just obsessed with making things look nice and thinking, as long as it looks nice, that's all that matters. And now I'm a creative director with 22 years experience, and I understand actually that it's creative consideration that moves us. You know, it's substance that moves us, not style over substance. And I read as many books on psychology, on influence, on consumer behavior as I do on creativity. And herein lies where I see an endemic problem in marketing. And I don't want to be all doom and gloom about it, but I genuinely believe that if we don't solve this problem, then it will affect your results, your successes, especially in tougher economic times. So tonight I'm going to tell you what that problem is, but more importantly, hopefully, how we can solve it. So let's start with the problem. And that problem is your unhealthy obsession with the pipe. Now, I'm not being slanderous. I don't mean this pipe. Come on, belly laughs, people, belly laughs. And I don't mean this pipe either. It's a familiar slide at the marketing meetup. I'm actually talking about these pipes. Now, I get it, right? You know, as marketers, you are told that you need lots of tools and lots of analysis to reach the customer. But the problem is, these pipes only reach the customer. They don't move the customer. So to put it another way, you know, The pipe reaches the customer, but it's the creativity that flows through the pipe that moves the customer. Now, it's not just my opinion either. In a recent Marketing Week article, they said, given all the data that shows the difference creativity can make, why is there a lack of investment by brands? And they cited three reasons. They said, procurement and finances demand for measurable ad spend. So the thing is, if you can't measure it, I'm not going to manage it, I'm not going to do it. Economic conditions as well. They're saying essentially companies are becoming safer. And others are blaming digital, even going as far as saying this. It's seen as easier and cheaper to improve SEO than to try and come up with a fame-creating brand campaign. Now, I can see some of the SEOs and the paid digitalers in the room going, yes, awesome. But you know what? SEO, PPC, it's got its place in the funnel, but it isn't the entire funnel. So let me put it another way. Your campaigns may be optimized to the eyeballs, but if they fail to reach the heart, they will fail. And I think this is possibly the reason why some of you don't get the results that you want. If they fail to reach the heart of the customer, if they fail to reach the heart of the problem, they will fail. You know, when was the last time that you heard a customer or a prospect say, oh, the PPC, the SEO on that campaign, oh my God, that's amazing, amazing. You don't, right? You don't. Belly laughs, I like it, I like it. But I'll tell you what you do hear. You do hear people saying, oh, I wonder what John Lewis are going to do this year. Oh, it won't be as good as last year though, will it? You do hear people saying, if I hear go compare one more bloody time, it's going to be a dead opera singer, right? Now, that is proof, albeit simple proof. It's proof that people are moved by what flows through the pipe. But that is not proof that you can take to your financial decision maker. I mean, you can try, right? They're going to show you the door. Go compare. So let me give you some stats that your financial decision maker might actually be interested in. So Nielsen, a couple of years ago, analysed 500 FMCG campaigns, and they found this. Creative is responsible for 47% of sales uplift. So creative works. That was ahead of reach, brand, and targeting. Reach and targeting, the pipes. So herein lies proof that creativity does move the customer, because the customer is what makes you successful. The customer is the results that you're looking for. So what I want to do is I want to tell you a quick story about what happens when you lose sight of the very thing that makes you successful. This rather happy looking chap is a guy called Doug Ivester. And after 20 years as their corporate auditor, Doug became CEO of Coca-Cola. So Doug, like some of you, I know, right? This is awesome. I wasn't anticipating that. Harley's going to be on stage in a minute. Awesome. So, yeah. Doug was a numbers man. He was a technology man. Doug was a pipes man. And Doug believed that the more people wanted something, the more they would pay for it. And he said publicly, remember that, publicly, he said that he wanted to put vending machines and install them with thermometers so that as the temperature rose, so would the price. There's only one word for this man, right? He puts the cock in Coca-Cola, right? Now, like all of you, right, we all would see this as exploitation. And everybody did see it as exploitation. Thank God it didn't happen. But what did happen was that Coca-Cola's share price fell from $38 to $18. This numbers man wiped off half the value of the company. Cock. All because he forgot about the customer. He forgot about what makes businesses successful. Not the pipe, customers. He forgot that marketing is all about humans. It's about making connections with those humans, and it's about emotions. This is a 1970s campaign. It's the famous "Nobody ever got fired for buying IBM." This is a B2B campaign, and it is purely based on emotions. They're not talking about the processors or the price or the RAM or the memory. It's all about not getting fired. You see, emotions work in marketing. Sales may be rationalized by features, but emotional benefits make the sale. Emotional benefits are the tipping point of marketing. And scientific studies have actually proven that we, your customers, your prospects, are irrational decision makers. We are emotional decision makers. And I'll give you a good example. Science has proven this, that even when the tablets are exactly the same, the branded aspirin, the branded painkiller, the more expensive painkiller is more effective at treating the headache. How bonkers is that? That's who you're marketing to. So I think sometimes in marketing we actually give our audiences more credit than is due. I'm sorry, but it's true, right? We all create personas, and I do think we give them more credit than is due, especially if this is true, which it is. Now, Ogilvy's chairman is a guy called Rory Sutherland, and he says it like this: the human mind does not run on logic any more than a horse runs on petrol. This guy's a genius. I've got an absolute man crush on him. Sorry, mate. Sorry. So let's look at this, right? You've got a rational business communicating to an irrational creature, and then suddenly that's compounded by an over-optimized pipe with suboptimal creative and messaging running through it, and you wonder why maybe you don't get the results that you're after. So, how do you change this? How do we solve this problem? Well, I'm going to take a leaf out of Apple's book, because it boils down to two words. You have to think different. It was actually Einstein himself that said insanity is the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. So I urge you from this moment on, with your marketing, with your campaigns, with creativity, please start thinking differently. So how do you do this? Well, I'm going to show you some examples. But before I do, I've got three more statistics for you. This was in campaign, and they've proven it. So 4% of advertising communications are remembered. Just 4%. Don't know why I did three there, but four. 7% is actually remembered negatively. 89% is forgotten or unnoticed. Now that's a shocking amount. Let's look at that a different way. Nearly 90% of marketing budgets, advertising budgets, comms budgets in general, is wasted. It was David Ogilvy that said, you can't bore someone into buying. Well, it looks like some marketers are seeing his quote as a challenge. Shocking. It is really shocking. So how does this happen? How does almost 9/10 of marketing go unnoticed? I believe it boils down to two words. And I've been on the receiving end of briefs like this. The client is thinking the F word. They are thinking in features. I've received briefs myself, which is actually saying, what should the business tell the customer? And it is about, if we go back to IBM, it is about processes, it's about speed, it's about price. They are thinking in features. Your customer isn't thinking features. They're thinking the B word. They are thinking benefits, and they are only asking one word of your marketing. They are asking, why? Why should I care? Why should I choose you over your competitors? Why are you better? And this is the sole question that your marketing needs to answer. So to prove this point, I'm going to pit Microsoft against Apple. And back in the day, what was it, about 20 years ago now, God, that makes me feel old, these guys both had an MP3 device to sell and peddle. So what I want to do is just show you the difference in how they marketed them. Yeah, I think we all know what's coming next. Two very different approaches. So let's take a look at what happened. This is iPod sales versus other handheld devices, the iPod and the Microsoft Zune. Anyone heard of the Microsoft Zune, by the way? A few of you, a very small percent. Okay, correlates to what's going on in this. It's a little bit hard to work out what's going on in this, so let me make it clearer for you. It's brilliant, always works. So we both watched them, and this is what was going on. Microsoft were telling you what? Okay, so it's got music, it's got videos, it's got pictures, it's got a lovely FM tuner in there as well. Awkward, right? Awkward. And Apple were actually telling you why you needed it in your life. They were very different. One was features, one was benefits. I saw this on Instagram recently. If you don't know why, your customers won't either. And therein lies the difference between both of these approaches. You watch that Microsoft ad going, you're not giving me a good reason. And I think that's fundamentally is what's happening to a lot of marketing. If you're not giving them a reason, there you go. That's why 89% is actually forgotten or unnoticed. So what I want to do is have a little look at a couple more recent examples. And the first is KFC. KFC's iconic logo. And when I saw what I'm about to show you next, I thought I've got to share it with you. Let's look at KFC's logo from a different point of view. You don't want to know what's in the Colonel's special recipe now, do you? Okay, let's move on. Love that. Right. So last year, KFC changed logistics suppliers and Kentucky Fried Chicken had no chicken. Yeah, really awkward for them. And basically, there was a nationwide PR nightmare for them. And what saved them? Creativity, but what I call considered creativity. What happened was KFC took out two full-page adverts. That's all they did. Two full-page adverts in national media, and they let social media do the rest. They had so much confidence in the creative, as they should. Over 1 billion positive impressions, and that was the response to all the negativity that was going on. Now, I love this. This is an absolute marketing masterclass because it was incredible creative and a very simple strategy. So what I want to do is just dissect the creative a little bit, because this isn't just a profanity on a bucket. This isn't just KFC reshuffled to be FCK. You see, this is what I call, and what we call in the creative world, we call this a smile in the mind. And a smile in the mind is that mental transaction between the prospect and the brand. It's that moment where we all go, oh yeah, I see what you did there. It's pretty clever, isn't it? And that is what I call considered creativity. When you know that the agency or the creative or the company has put some thought into it, you give credit where it's due. And that's exactly what happened here. Now, it's Mark Twain that said, "I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead." Sounds a bit weird. You have to go, what? Really? Doesn't make sense. But as Simon said in the last month's talk, that less is more. Simplicity. For anybody that's tried to write really good email subject lines, you know it's really difficult to try and get a good, succinct, short headline. Three letters. That's all they did here. Three letters. And it was staring them in the face for many, many years. It's absolutely genius. But the other thing that was going on here is that this was all about achieving a very different objective. You see, people thought, okay, well, they've got to say sorry because of, you know, the PR nightmare. Let me show you what was really going on. So this is the crisis week. So it peaked in the middle of the crisis. There wasn't a good word to be said about KFC. This is what happened when they put the advert out. So they didn't just say sorry. They used excellent, genius, creative to change the story from a chicken crisis to a hilarious apology. Nobody was slagging off KFC anymore. They were praising them. A billion positive impressions. It was genius. Now, can you imagine if the business brains had have gone, you can't possibly bastardise the brand and you can't swear in national media. Oh, no, 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 no. That's what business brains sound like, by the way, right? They wouldn't have recovered as well. But they did, because they believed in good creative. They didn't just prepare the pipe and just say, well, we'll put a normal apology down it. Did we praise the media buying? Not really. Two full-page adverts, that's all it was. It was very simple. Did we wax lyrical about the pipes that bought us this? No. This is all about good creative and having confidence in that creative, and it worked. So for my next example, I want to start with one of my best quotes. Not my best quote, but a quote that I love. There we go. There's no such thing as an attention span, only the quality of what you are viewing. Now, Jerry Seinfeld isn't exactly Shakespeare or Confucius, but he's got a point. So I want you to bear this in mind with the next example, which is from Santander. Now, 2 years ago, Santander launched a brand new bank account, and it was squarely targeted at possibly, as we're, you know, alleged to believe, the hardest demographic and generation of them all, millennials. Now, millennials apparently are the walking goldfish of our world, right? They have a 7-second memory, content has to be short, get in, get out. But the agency and Santander actually thought that was a load of bullshit, excuse my French, because it is. Because, as Jerry Seinfeld said, it's all about the quality of the content you're viewing. So, they produced this film. It's called Beyond Money. And the shocking thing about this film is it was 20 minutes long. 20 minutes to a target demographic that has a 7-second attention span. But let's have a little look at the results. The film premiere, there was a red carpet premiere, attracted 12,500 people. It opened across 14 cinemas across Spain, generated the bank's fastest sign-up rate in 160 years, and it achieved 35% of Santander's annual business goal in just 2 weeks. They could basically take the rest of the year off. It was that successful. And the cherry on the cake is that the negative brand sentiment dropped 24%. Now, this is targeted at a generation that doesn't trust banks, certainly doesn't trust marketing. Now, the film was all about a woman who traded her memories for money. It was very Black Mirror-esque. It was very Netflix-esque as well. And that was by absolute no accident at all. The agency knew what this generation and what their target demographic was watching. They didn't believe the hype of 7-second attention spans, get in, get out, tell them features. They knew what was going to work. And again, creativity reigned supreme. But it wasn't just Santander that that produced and went down the Hollywood route that year. HP, or should I say HP Studios, presents The Wolf. This was a mini-series that HP put out. There was, I think, 6 or 7 episodes. It was produced by Hollywood director Christian Slater in it, very Mr. Robot-esque. Won't labour too much on the creative. Let's look at some of the results. These are the comments live on YouTube as we speak. This is way better than most of the stuff shown in movie theatres. First time I've watched a 6.5-minute advert. And that's it. This was a 6.5-minute advert for office printers and IT security. But again, they didn't think. So these are time-poor IT security professionals or buyers of hardware. Again, they thought creatively. And whilst, I don't know, Minolta or Xerox were all zagging in one direction, these guys zigged. And it worked. And it worked so well that earlier this year, they launched a follow-up series called The Fixer, more Hollywood-esque production values, more Hollywood cast. It absolutely worked. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, right, yeah, well done, Baz, right? They're lovely examples. KFC, Santander, HP, all got much deeper pockets than we do. We don't have these types of budgets. Now, budget doesn't mean, or not having as much budget, should I say, doesn't mean you have to stifle creativity. Because the last example I want to show you is an example I shot. And I produced this film for a Cambridge biotech company. But it didn't start off as a brief for brand storytelling or a film. It started off as, we need an explainer animation. And when the client said that to me, I went, shit. Not because I can't do them, because they're shit. They really are terrible. I should have apologised at the start for my language. I'm so passionate, honestly. The expletives just fall out. I'm sorry. Explainer animations are terrible. And I'll tell you why they're terrible. Because everyone has one. Right? This is an oversaturated sausage factory turnkey route of marketing. And we all know as soon as we press play, if we dare press play on these types of animations, that we're going to be patronised to, right? This is Bob. Bob's with Claire. They've got a business problem. Yes, shit marketing, right? Sorry. So it is. It's terrible. When I was researching this and I wanted to build a case to say to the client, please don't, I went on to some of these websites that produce these, and some of them are saying, we've produced 3,000 explainer animations. There's 3,000 reasons not to, right? Everyone's got one. They're terrible. They sit on YouTube. You get 7 views. If you've got a few of them, the second, the third will not get watched because the first one was so terrible. So I said to the client, you've got this innovative instrument. It's absolutely groundbreaking. And you are about to do it a disservice by producing an animation that is just so average. If your marketing is terrible, so is your product. You know, consumers are that fickle. It's what Rory Sutherland calls perception leaking. So I produced this film for them. They trusted me. Crazy fools. And the results are still working. This went out in a recent email campaign. There was other call to action content in that campaign. And the other content didn't stand a chance. This got a 10% click-through rate. The other got absolutely nothing, zero. Now, this is also on the client's website. And that page on that website is the best lead-generating page out of all of their pages. And they've got many, and they've got a lot of content. And again, creativity is reigning supreme. It's got a good story, I would say that. But the production values have considered the audience. You know, we're not just saying, this is why you need to buy the Fluidity One. You know, it doesn't even sell. It's just got a really good narrative, and people actually lean into it because it's considered. So, What are all of these examples have in common? Whether you're KFC, whether you're Fluidic Analytics in Cambridge, what do they all have in common? Well, the clients have valued creative. They valued the outcome. They brought the creatives in earlier, you know, to add value and steer the brief in the right direction, not just to deliver the brief, not just to be a robot or a lapdog and say, we can deliver that. We know what works, especially if you've got good creatives, conceptual creatives. We have a filing cabinet of ideas. We know what works, we know what doesn't. And they trusted the creative strategy. We're not just about, you know, being divas and crayons and, you know, just sitting down the pub all day. I say that. But we know good creative strategy at the same time. So the thing is, if you want to improve the quality of what is flowing through your pipes, do these three things. If you really genuinely want to move the customer, please do these three things. If you want to prove to finance and procurement that you're not just a cost department, you can be a good revenue generating department, do these three things. Now, I'm going to leave you with a quote by the late, great David Abbott. I'm sure a lot of you don't know who David Abbott is, but if I said BT, Bob Hoskins, and It's Good to Talk, you'll know who David Abbott is. He was the linchpin creative on that campaign. And David actually foresaw the problem I'm talking to you about tonight, because, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, he said this: shit that travels at the speed of light is still shit. And therein lies my point. So the next time you are thinking about running a campaign, please remember this quote. Please remember that your customer isn't as logical and rational as you think they are. Please give them consideration. Please produce considered creativity, because they only want you to answer one question: why? And you can use good creative, excellent creative, to do that. If you don't answer it, you won't get results. Thank you very much.